rejoiced after that one. The reality, the truth of all of those things that we have just sung. My friends, you're missing out. I want to encourage you right now to find a pen or pencil. Borrow one if you don't have one. Prick yourself if blood is all you got, friends, because you're going to want to make notes here. Today we're going to do some training, not so much preaching. And you say, why? Because if I said this Saturday between 9 and 4, I want you to come and be trained to share the gospel, honestly, how many of you would come? So I've hijacked the service. Ain't nobody going nowhere. And we're going to talk about the gospel here today, my friends, and how to communicate it to the lost. Broken rainbows, disappointments. They had hoped for more, and even if they got it, it was empty. Today, we are going to teach you how to communicate hope to this world. The gospel. I know you all know what it is, right? Let's say it. The gospel by which we are saved is Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Now, here's the problem, friends. The answer to that question is this. So what? It is an important question to ask. What difference does it make that Christ died for our sin and rose from the dead? And that is what we're going to teach you here today. You have, instead of a bulletin outline, friends, you've got an insert because we got some notes for you here. Going to teach you four methods right here, okay? Going to bring them out. The better you take notes and the more you review it, and even if you practice it, you will internalize it. And God will bring people into your path. And doors will swing wide open and your eyes will widen and you will say, this is it. And you will either let the moment pass or you will communicate the truth of the gospel. Well, let's learn some methods on how to do just that. The first, and perhaps the first one that I ever learned, was something called the Romans Road. Anybody ever hear that, Romans Road? I know the Romans were meticulous in keeping the roads clean to have good, safe travel. Helped a lot when after Christ had died and rose from the dead and sent out his disciples to communicate the gospel through the world. They had good, safe travel, my friends. But we're talking about a road to salvation here. So, friends, I want you to consider, I'm going to give you a heads up here, friends. There are four things that need to be understood for someone to come to faith in Christ. Four things. You're going to see that those things show up in every one of these methods. The heart of it is four truths. In the Romans Road, basically from the book of Romans, you can highlight and explain perhaps four verses that will help people understand what salvation is all about, what Christ did, why he did it, and how they ought to respond. And so the first is Romans 3:23. And the truth is we are all sinners. That's where we have to start, that people need to understand their condition. If they don't know where they are, they won't be interested in what you have to say. If somebody doesn't know they're drowning, they don't care if you're throwing them a life ring. What do they call those things? But it doesn't matter. You all know what I'm talking about. What is it? Life preserver. Life preserver. Thank you for helping the pastor here today. All right. So, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That first statement before the and is the truth of it. What comes after is further explanation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is his perfection. It is his nature, his character. And primarily, God is a holy God. Which means God, there is no darkness in God, my friends. God is a marvelous light. And there is no sin. There is nothing to be hidden with God. God is the absolute standard of goodness and perfection. We do not meet that standard. We have sinned. Everybody read Romans 3:23. Here it is right in front of you. Ready, go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know what sin is? Well, certain sin is certainly falling short of God's standard. You know, we could talk specifically. Anybody ever here ever lie? I was just remembering, you know, stealing my first thing as a little kid. I was like in first grade. It was a deck of cards. I don't know what to do with a deck of cards. I took it. I kept it. I was ashamed. I had enormous guilt. I feared that I would be caught and that judgment would ensue. And I got out of the car and I ran to my friend's house and I gave it to him. So now he's an accessory. No, friends, I was guilty. And that's the way sin works. Steals away every bit and ounce of joy. You know, so we've all stolen this, whether it's a joke or somebody's idea, their thoughts, not given credit to things. We've taken that which does not belong to us. Got to be very careful about that. We are liars. We are thieves. We hate. Think of that person right now that you hate. Boom, there it is. You are guilty. Hate. Jesus said that that hate in the heart is the same as murder. We are sinners. And our sin, step two, we are all sinners. Moving on to the second one, and this is it. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from God. Friends, if I walked up to you this morning and held out my hand and slapped you on the cheek, we have an instant broken relationship. Yes? Would you agree? Everybody said, better not, Pastor. It won't happen, friends. Not if I can help it anyway. So here it is, friends. Sin separates us from God. In Genesis chapter 3:8, there is this amazing thing that is happening. Remember, God has spoke everything into existence. And then on the sixth day of creation, he made man. And in Genesis 3:8, there's this little snapshot of what it looked like for Adam and Eve to live in the garden. And it talked about this habit, that God would come walking in the cool of the day through the garden. And why we, you know, surely this must have been, it doesn't say he did it every day, you know, but there's no doubt that this happened. God created man for a relationship with himself. But on that particular day, Adam and Eve were hiding. They hid themselves. God created us for a relationship with himself. Think about that. Why else would God create relational people? Just so we'd get along? Well, that didn't work too well. Sin destroys relationships. You know it. You've experienced it. You've been a part of it, no doubt. You know? But sure enough, the Lord God called out, Adam, where are you? They hid themselves and they covered themselves because sin is always followed up with shame. There was shame in it. You know it's wrong. It is inherently wrong. Lord God, tell me, you haven't eaten of that fruit of the tree that I told you not even to take a bite out of. And wishing to justify himself, he pointed at Eve. She gave it to me to eat. It was her fault. Really? Did she open your mouth and crunch, crunch, crunch? No. Well, there's Eve. It was a serpent. Of course, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, I'll tell you. There was nobody. I'll bet you never heard that one before. We got some groans up in the front here. Thank you for the laughter in the back. They were guilty, my friends. We try to move away and hide and deflect. Guilt is guilt. We stand guilty before God, separated from him. And not only, my friends, did they feel shame, they were kicked out of the garden. God put an angel at the entry with a flaming sword. You stay away. You are no longer welcome here because of your sin. Consider that for a moment. So Romans Road. Now, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Wow, sin, it separates us from God. That's 6:23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. I would just read to the comma, not because we don't care what comes next, but the point is this. The wages of sin is death. Death inherently is separation. Think for just a moment of all of the people you are no longer friends with, separated because of a harsh word. Maybe it was you, maybe it was them, maybe it was both of you. Relationships cannot bear sin, my friends. They tear down and destroy. The wages of sin, you know that word wages is such a great one. It means you're getting paid exactly what you deserve, what you are owed. And the case here is death. So we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Let's get to the good news here. Next, we move to Romans 5:8, and we discover that Christ died for our sin. He died in our place. He is our substitute. Who deserves death? Eternal separation from God. Everybody raise your hand because it's you and it's me. But Christ. But God showed his love for us. And there is no greater love than someone lays his life down for a friend. And Christ died for us. He died in our place. Read it, friends. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. You are a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but Christ died for you. Don't miss it, friends. These are the inherent truths that must be understood in order for someone to come to faith in Christ. And lastly, 4 of 4 is this. We are saved from the penalty of sin through faith. Christ died for our sin. We are sinners. We deserve eternal separation from God. But Christ died in our place. So what? You can be saved through faith. Saved from the penalty of sin, after that, saved from the power of sin, and one day be saved from the very presence of sin. We are saved through faith. Now, friends, when we look at this, there is a couple of chapters we could look at here. You know, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, is that going to show up here? I don't remember if I included it. If I didn't, it's okay. Romans 10, 9 and 10 would be the completion of the Romans road. You know, and it's cumbersome. Go ahead and turn there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And we'll read that here together. It'll take me longer than you, apparently. Romans 10 and 9. And this is the last verse that completes the Romans road, and it says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that is most certainly true, but it also is confusing. What do you mean? To be saved, I need to speak out something? No, the fact is you do not. You need to have faith in Christ and what he has done for you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, this is all an allusion back to the book of Joel. Paul is borrowing this very thought, and these things are true. I mean, you certainly can't reject that Jesus is God, and that is the essence here when we talk about Jesus as Lord, not just the controller of your life. Believe you me, he is. But that Jesus is God himself. And if you deny that, my friends, then Christ's death is just his own death. A man cannot die for another man, certainly not all of us. But God can. He took on flesh that he might be a sacrifice for all of man. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and notice this, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This is not, again, just the acceptance of this fact, if you believe this is true. Friends, it is true whether you believe it or not. The fact is, if you believe it is true and act on it, that's faith, two aspects to faith, right? To accept something as true and then act on it. You know, if I believed that I could jump from here all the way back there, then I might go ahead and do it. I'm 53 years old. I know better. You know, but if I believed it, I would. I could act on it, couldn't I? That's what faith is. You know, faith, great example, you know. There's Jesus out there walking in the water, you know. And so Peter now has in his mind that Jesus can walk on water, you know. And Jesus invites Peter to walk out there with him. So there is a truth here that something that Jesus did not only has power, the wind and the waves and all sorts of things, he can heal people, he can also enable me to walk on the water. So he does. If he didn't believe that, he never would have gotten out of the boat. But he did. And so he stepped out. You know, seems like a crazy thing to do. You know, you maybe played in boats and jumped out and everything, but you never expected to walk on water. Why? Because Jesus didn't invite you out there. You know, and so Peter, of course, he did. Then he started getting nervous and focusing on some other things. And you know what else? His mind went from believing that Christ could enable him to walk on water to water can make you drown and waves can push you over and all sorts of other things that he began to believe more than that. It brought great fear and chaos and down he went. Okay, so when we look at this, we see that maybe this isn't the best verse to take somebody to because it requires all sorts of explanation. Not that you shouldn't be able to do that, but I would prefer Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9, as a matter of fact, there it is right there. Ephesians 2:8-9, read it with me, will you? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Read it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And there it is. What is grace? Grace is God giving to us that which we do not deserve. It is not owed to us, and we certainly don't deserve it. But God's love, which is a sacrificial investment in someone else, God's love sent his son, and his son willingly went to the cross to die for your sin. That's grace. For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. What is our response to it? Putting our trust in Christ. Now, one of the ways that you can, I know you're all planning, I can't wait to go home and tell somebody this. When you're all done communicating these truths, you want to ask the question. You know, you want to, so what do you want to do with this? You've heard it, maybe now you understand it. What comes next? Some people have developed diagnostic questions to help emit an answer. And here's one that perhaps you could use. Suppose this morning that you were standing at the gate of heaven. You know, maybe Michael or Gabriel, we're making that this is not going to happen, but it's a diagnostic question. And you are standing there, you have died, you are standing at the gates of heaven, and the question is this: why should I let you in? What would your answer be? Well, because I've tried to be good. Because I've tried to be gooder than I am badder. I mean, what's your answer, friends? I mean, what are you depending on? One day we will all die. We will leave this place. Likely it'll be sooner than we think. That's not an omen, my friends. It's just truth. What is your answer to that? Do you see how effective that is? Even right now, you're evaluating. What would I say? Well, I know what I would say. I would say that Jesus died for my sin. He paid the penalty, that which would keep me out of here. And I'm trusting in him. There's no plan B involved here, friends. Trusting in what Christ has done, what Christ alone has done. It's not Jesus plus my best effort. Salvation by faith in Christ and Christ alone. See how helpful that is? Now, when you go to share the gospel with somebody or just practice it with your spouse or your kids or your parents, don't forget that question. What would you do? What would you say? It really gives people an opportunity to think, what am I trusting in? What am I trusting in? So there it is, the Romans road. We are all sinners. Sin separates us from God. Christ died for our sin, but we can be saved through faith. Four things. We are sinners. Sin separates us from God. Christ died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And we can be saved through faith. Okay? There it is. Four elements. That's the Romans road. Four verses, four truths. Now let's move on to something that we'll interact in for just a little bit. You will notice on the back of your bulletin, there is just a big blank spot here. This is a great opportunity to write these things down for yourself. This is called the bridge, okay? And you'll see why it's called the bridge in just a few minutes here. It'll all make sense. But if you're sitting in a restaurant and here's the question, you know, has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? May I? Have anybody ever explained this whole thing that the church believes with all that its might? The main message of Christianity is this. This is a way to present it. Still involves the very same four statements, friends, but it's a different way to present it, okay? Let's take a look. It starts, we're talking about the bridge here, and it starts with this statement. God created us for a relationship with himself. Here we have an image, or we ought to have an image. Do we have an image, Bruce? Personal testimony. That's out of order. How about this? Let's do the personal testimony. Huh? There it is. Bruce, you're the man. Thanks, man. You look good in that hat, too. Doesn't he look good in that hat? All right. So here it is. Basically, you don't have to write all this stuff. You're just explaining it. Here's us, and here's God. And God created us for a relationship with himself. But we have all sinned, and sin separates us from God. Boom. Look at that. You got this great cavern, and in the middle there, you write the word sin, because sin separates us from God. You see that? Look at that. We referenced Genesis 3:8, talked about Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed, dishonored God by taking the fruit and eating of that which he said, you shall not eat, lest you die. And here is the separation. But the penalty for sin is ultimately death, ultimately hell, death, separation from God. Hell is the ultimate separation from God because we are separated from his goodness, his kindness, his comfort, his love, any joy or any of the good that God provides for us. It is gone. It's not the heat. It's the lack of any love or comfort or any hope. It makes hell hell, my friends. We can suffer a great deal amount of pain if we know that there is an end. The despair of hell is great, my friends. And that is our situation. Because of our sin, we are separated from our God. The wages of sin is death. But Christ died for our sin. And there it is, Romans 5:8. We were there before, but God demonstrated his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And look at that. What we got here is the cross. You see it? And the cross is the bridge to God, my friends. Because we could not come to God. God came to us in the person of his son, Jesus. And my friends, you see sin, death, and hell? We see exactly what Christ did, and he crossed those guys out. Boom. See how powerful that is? He paid the penalty for your sin, and no longer is there eternal separation from him. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then comes number four. And what is it? You can be saved by faith. And then we got this little image here. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. In other words, it is faith in Christ and Christ alone. It's not because you went to church. It's not because you got baptized. It's not because of anything other than you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we draw this little guy here, and we got the little arrow moving him, and boom, there he goes. By faith, he is reconciled to God. Now, friends, you'll have to put that on your computer to make it do that. Or you can just draw the arrow and redraw the little guy there. By faith, and faith in Christ and faith alone. That is the grace of God, my friends, and that is called the bridge. Did you write it out for yourself? Does it make sense to you? Four things. In every one of these presentations, we are sinners. We are separated from God because of our sin. But Christ died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And we can be saved by faith. Faith, that is the answer. So, my friends, now we move on to the bad news and the good news. Are we there? Bruce, I'm sorry I've left you such a mess here. There it is, bad news, good news. And if you were at Terry's funeral, you heard this. It is the bad news and good news. It's the easiest for me to remember. It is still the same four items, and it is presented exactly the same order, but it is just a method. The Word of God, the Bible, basically contains bad news and good news. The bad news is something about us, and the good news is something about God. Let's start with the bad news. You know what the bad news is? You sure do. We have all sinned. We are all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, memorize these verses. There are four verses to memorize. If you haven't already memorized them, go back and learn. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are all sinners, every single one of us. We didn't become sinners. We came into this world with a sin nature just waiting to act. We are all sinners. And that's bad news, my friends. Notice the transition here. But the bad news gets worse. And what is the bad news that gets worse? The wages of sin is death. And death is separation. Again, destroying relationships. You can be right next to somebody, but be a whole world away from them because of sin. We are separated from God because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. But there is good news. And I'm hoping by now, friends, you know what the good news is. The good news is this, that Christ died for our sin. Christ died for our sin and he rose from the dead. Remember Romans 5:8? God demonstrated or shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the good news. Christ died in our place, our substitute. He died so that we would not have to die. He was separated from God, his Father. Remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? There on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin. And just like the bad news got worse, the good news gets better. We can be saved by faith. You don't have to become a member of a church. I highly recommend it, but that is not how we are saved. It's not about praying every day, three times a day, four times a day for 45 minutes at a time. I recommend it, and maybe even more, prayer without ceasing. But this is not how we are saved. It's not about if you give enough money to God. I'm just reminded of that lady who came to a pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm not very good at this repentance thing. How about you just use my lake house for a week or two and we call it even?" There are no bargains with God, my friends. The only bargain is this: Christ died for your sin. We are saved by faith. We are saved by putting our trust in Christ. And that is, of course, the final issue. The good news is not only did Christ die for our sin, we are saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There ought to be nobody walking around here, "Oh yeah, I'm the smart one. I trusted Christ." Friends, if it were not for the Spirit of God who drew you to Him, you would still be lost in your sin. All of the work is of God. And that is why He and He alone deserves the praise for your salvation. And that is the bad news, the good news. Talk about the bad news. The bad news is we've all sinned, right? You know where this is going. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The good news is Christ died for our sin, rose from the dead, and we can be saved by faith. You see how easy this is? You know, friends, this ought to eliminate the whole fear of talking to someone about Jesus. I know that there's still the nervousness of this could be it for them. They could come to a point, God may be bringing them to this point so they can hear the gospel and be saved, and I'll be out of my mind thrilled about it. There's a whole lot of adrenaline involved in this gospel sharing. I want to tell you, you know, that's not the reason to do it, but I'll tell you, there is inherently joy built in. Share the gospel, my friends. You can do it. And finally, because you knew the last one had to come and it's about time to go, is the personal testimony. Personal testimony. The great thing about the personal testimony is you already know it. There's no studying about this. It is basically answering three questions in the presentation of the gospel. It starts like this. No one ever expected it would be me. I mean, I remember my dad, when I told him I was going to go to this Christian school, he said, "You?" No one expected it. I mean, I grew up in a church. See, I'm going to talk about my personal experiences before I came to faith in Christ. What was my life like? I knew these things were true, but it didn't change anything. That's what was my life like before I came to faith in Christ. You can elaborate. It can be fast or slow. It can be very detailed or very simple. I knew these things. I learned about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus and the miracles. And I believed it was true, but nothing changed my life. Then we come to step two, and this is where the gospel is. But when I was 19 years old, it was summertime. I just ended this relationship, and it was a lot of anxiety and anger and frustration. And it was that kind of time in my life. I didn't know where I was going. And for some reason, God came to my mind. And I knew that Christ died for my sin, and I knew I was a sinner. You know, I knew my heart. I knew my thoughts. And I asked God to forgive my sin based on the fact that Jesus had died for my sin. And He forgave me that night. I know it because the Bible said He would. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And that's how my life changed. That's number three. What difference has it made in your life? What difference has it made in your life? I know that what was my life before I trusted Christ? Give me the circumstances that drew you to Christ. That's the context. That's the first question. What was your life like? You know, and likely this involved a felt need, you know? And then comes the conversion, how I came to faith in Christ. Your story is different than my story. We all have different stories. different contexts in which we came to faith in Christ. Maybe your story includes hearing it for the first time or understanding it for the first time right here this morning. But friends, know your story. Go back and take some time to think about it. What is it that God used to draw you to himself? Well, so there's our context, then our conversion. And again, this is the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. I knew because sin separated me from God. And I knew that Christ died for my sin and rose from the dead. And I put my faith in him. That is your gospel presentation. It is very personal. This is something I use with somebody I likely already know, I'm sitting down with, not walking down the sidewalk, you know. Not that I do a lot of evangelism that way or anything. But this is something you can sit down and talk to a friend about. You know, it's funny you should ask about church. I want to tell you how the church thing changed my life. A little transition into the spiritual. Anything spiritual mentioned, the church, the gospel, the Pope. You know, I don't know how much that helps, but I want to tell you what changed my life. Yeah, you know, the real change for me was, boom, tell your story. Christ died for my sin, he rose from the dead, and I put my faith in him. And since then, my life is just different. I mean, people started asking me, what's different about you? What was different is I now had, not only did I have hope and forgiveness, and there was no more shame and guilt that was taken away, I had purpose in life. You know, and you know the story. The first one I needed to tell this to was my buddy Steve. I don't say that in the gospel presentation, but you know it. Like, my buddy's got to have this. He has got to know what this is like to be in a relationship with God. And so there it is. Whew, and how my life is different now. So there you go. There's four different methods I've just shown you here today. How to present the gospel to the lost. We can start with a Romans road. Hey, have you, anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? Let's start in Romans 3:23. The Bible says we're all sinners. Yeah. 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But 5:8 says that Christ died for our sin. Even while we were sinners, we didn't have to get good for Christ to die for us. He died for us even in our wasted life of full of sin. And you can be saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. Go ahead, skip to a different book. I don't know, makes it a little easier. Romans Road. Bad news, good news. Bible basically contains some bad news about us and good news about God. Bad news is we're all sinners. Bad news gets worse. Wages of sin is death. But the good news is Christ died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And how does it end? What's the fourth part? You can be saved through faith. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it. You can do this, friends. Here's the question, though. The only question that matters is not can you, but will you? You know somebody in your life. They are not in my circle or sphere of influence. They are in yours. And they are there because you know the gospel. And now you have four simple methods to present the gospel to the lost person and watch them come to faith in Christ. Watch their eyes be opened. Watch their life begin to change. Watch them walk around like a little kid with new sneakers, bouncing around and excited about life because everything is new. Do you remember those days when everything was new? Before the same old snuck in? And what was new and fresh became routine? All you have to do is open your mouth. Has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you? You know, let me tell you how my life changed. Three steps. My life before faith in Christ, how I came to faith in Christ, clear gospel presentation, how my life is different. Just for your own edification, I would encourage you to write out your personal testimony. That's the first step. Write it out, figure it out, make it clear. And then practice telling it to someone safe, a friend. Before you leave this place, challenge somebody. Hey, let's write our personal testimonies and get together and share them with one another. And we can help one another make it clear. But that's it, friends. You are now equipped. You know how to do it. You have the notes right in front of you. Do it. I mean, just do it. Why not? I mean, do you really want to go through your Christian life and have never shared the gospel with someone? I mean, do you want to stand in front of Jesus? You know, it wasn't really my thing. I know I was supposed to, but and know that he brought people to your door. They sat at your table. I mean, you saw them at the holidays, and you never opened your mouth. What a shame that would be. What a shame.